This conference is being recorded.
Can you hear me the whole time?
Yep.
Boop, 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 oh, boop. Awesome.
Yeah, singing the porno music.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it
That shit never gets old. So
it's too bad people can't hear that. Like, obviously, on most of the Torch audios, they just leave the... This conference is being recorded at the beginning. It's awesome if we use the porno from Free Conference Call, the porno music as our intro music.
Well, you know, I could turn up some of that smooth shit in the background while we do the show.
That's right. Fucking Tommy Two telling him this is a broomstick fucking symphony or whatever he said.
Whatever it was called. Dude, turn that shit off.
That's so awesome. I fucking love it. And by the way, this is the introduction to the show. Hey, everyone.
Hello.
That's right. Welcome to the latest Stunt Granny Audio. This is Eric and Jeremy. We haven't done a show for a long time.
Yes.
And
this is what we call the asshole edition.
The asshole edition. I love it. Yeah, I like a good cold intro.
That's fine. Who cares?
Oh, my God. Hey, before we get started, there are many things that are kind of like ancillary thoughts that we might want to remember over the course of the show. But let's just get this out of the way. Kevin is on a date tonight.
Oh, God. He's going to kill him like that. I was going to try and work it into the conversation somehow.
No. I just want to hear more. I mean, I know the basis of this whole thing, but I was going to see if you knew any juicier information.
Well, see, this is like when we talk about Beth Phoenix later, I was going to say, you know, Beth Phoenix hurt her knees. And speaking of knees, Kevin's on a date, something like that.
Yeah, speaking of a woman getting
down
on her knees.
Speaking of a chick on her knees, yeah.
Sorry, I ruined your perfectly good segue.
That's all right. I don't think he was... I warned him we were going to like talk about him going out with someone tonight. I mean, I think it's funny. I guess we should preface this with, it's not like this is Kevin's first date.
Right.
You know, but... It's just funny because he can't do anything about it, and he's just going to hear the recording tomorrow. So,
that's right. Well, he was out collecting phone numbers.
Yeah.
I think it was unintentional, but one of his buddies was dating somebody, and that's kind of a gray area for me. I didn't quite understand how the fact that one guy was dating somebody translated
into
him actually getting a phone number.
His friend was macking on some chick at the bar, so Kevin decided, fuck this, and went and started talking with the bartender chick.
Yeah,
and then he's wearing a fedora now. So
that's
I guess
awesome.
the and he says he gets comments on it. And I was like, yes, but hey, douchebag, your hat sucks. Probably isn't the kind of comment he wants, but.
That's right. Well, if I weren't dating somebody, maybe I'd start wearing a Cosby sweater around town.
Yes, this is the warm and fuzzy edition of the audio. Well, if I wasn't dating someone, too.
Oh, I'm showing off.
We're all kept men now. Kevin's the lucky one going out getting random tail now.
That's right.
Until he gets herpes, and then, well, you know, then we'll make fun of that, too. So.
Yeah, then he can just spread the love.
And yeah, well.
And something else.
Good choice of words, I suppose, but...
Yeah, I think so. Well, anyway, good for Kevin, and we can work in other jabs at him over the course of this next hour or so.
Well, yes, and then we can get the exclusive update on Sunday after the TNA pay-per-view when Kevin will actually be here in Greenville, South Carolina.
That's so awesome.
I get to stare into his beautiful brown eyes as we do a show, so...
Yep, you two can talk about the TNA pay-per-view. And then you can find out on his date what kind of sacrifice he made. Because it's the name of the show.
This is where I need a soundboard with a car crash or a train derailing.
You can find out if they went over the limit. God.
I don't know. I guess if he goes over the limit, he ain't coming to South Carolina. So.
Right.
He'll be put under the jail. But,
yikes, yeah.
Well, we only do this because we're all rooting for Kevin. So.
That's right, absolutely. We've got each other's backs in some strange sort of way.
Yes, just so we can put a knife in it.
Yeah, we've got each other's backs in that we stuck a knife in there and then we still have our hands on the handle in case we need to switch a little bit.
Well, yeah, because we're cheap. We need the same knife for somebody else. So yeah. I like how you're treating Kevin as like the retarded one of the group. Well, Kevin's got a date, and it's a big step for him, you know.
Well, Christ, how many fucking years have I had the saddest penis in town?
Yes, that's true. Like,
so, yeah, whatever. I just leapt right into my situation. Kevin's out there playing the field. Good for you, buddy. I wasn't even playing the field. I couldn't even get fucking nosebleed tickets to the game, for Christ's sake.
I was a fat kid that couldn't climb the fence into the field. God.
Oh, well. What a bunch of...
Just on the topic of wrestling, I hope you have TNA in the background.
I did. I was watching it up to this point, but I shut it off. I can't concentrate on that and watch the main event.
Well, they had, before Elise left, we were watching, and she turns to me, she goes, TNA. I was like, She goes, ugh. Yeah. And I think she honestly believes that Sunday is a WWE pay-per-view.
Oh, no.
Oh, she's in for a big shock. So, yeah, and
letters in the English language just showed up on the TV screen.
Well, they had Orlando Jordan on, and she goes, "Who's he?" And I'm like, "Oh God,
he's the wild card. Can't you tell?"
Yeah, he's you know, I do what I want, I say what I want to say because I am wild card in TNA, wild card or not the wild card. I'm wild card.
Yeah, there was a really awkward pause there. It's like, did you literally, like, as soon as you got to your nickname and slash catchphrase, forget what you were going to say?
Yeah. I mean, especially when you have it on a fucking playing card.
Yeah, and the card, granted, it's only laying about 3 feet away. I know you don't have it in your hand anymore, but Jesus, fucking right on Rob Terry's back. Maybe he was just all a Twitter because it was Rob Terry.
Yeah, he did put a steel rod on Rob Terry's back, so.
That's right.
Man, that was one of those matches where, I mean, they're just instances where if they put a dome over the ring and filled it with cyanide, that's a gas form, right? Yeah. No one would care.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely
so,
not.
No, but I was just watching this, and they had Taz go, you know, this is a purist dream, a triple threat match.
How the fuck? Yeah, when did Frank Gotch and George Hackenschmidt fucking invite Ed Strangler Lewis into the ring for a three-way dance back in 1908 at fucking Comiskey Park? A purist dream? Jesus Christ, fucking Lou Thesz never had to carry two bums to a fucking decent match at the same time. What the fuck are you talking about, retard?
Well, it's not even a title match on top of it.
Yeah, so that's a good point.
Oh, boy. No, I'm flipping between that and LeBron James' last game as a Cleveland Cavalier.
Oh, are they losing? You can spoil it for me.
Oh, yeah, they're getting blasted. 78-90 with 3:38 left.
Oh, my God. LeBron, you fucking chump. I was reading some op-ed piece about him, how he's just like, he's so distracted by the fact that he thinks he's bigger than Jesus. And he's trying to, you know, wheel and deal all these marketing ploys and techniques that it's just fucking them up when it comes to playing. And it's like, and basically the columnist just said, you need to win. You need a championship. But who the fuck do you think you are, or who do you think you're ever going to be if you don't have a championship?
Now, it didn't help his cause on this that he was faking, he's been faking an elbow injury. And To build up the Jordan drama, you know, just like Jordan faked having the flu and like overreacted, like, oh, I'm so weak. Shut up, you're not.
Yeah.
So this was like LeBron James's moment, like, oh, my elbow hurts. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, shit, it's too late. Now you just lost the series.
Which is actually unlike when Shawn Michaels faked having the flu at the Royal Rumble 1997, when in fact he was just too fucking pilled up to actually go out there and wrestle a decent match. It ended up being decent against Sid, but, you know, the old flu bug strikes again.
Oh, yeah.
And then everybody loses their smile and then goes to fucking, I don't know. Where is LeBron going to go anyway?
I don't care. It's basketball.
I've heard that that New York is a possibility. Like, the Knicks are fucking worth a shit.
Well, Spike Lee is, openly cheering for him. It's like, oh, fucking whatever.
Yeah, great.
Oh, Mr. Anderson has a really cool shirt. Pro wrestling is real, Mr. Anderson. And I think the back says people are fake, and then there's something under it. Okay, look.
Wow.
What happened to this guy? And I know there's WWE stuff to talk about, but honestly,
mm-hmm.
what happened to him? He's a generic-looking guy now. He has no charisma whatsoever. It just seems fake.
Even his shirt, like, you know, for some reason, okay, maybe it was because it was Steve Austin. Steve Austin could get away with Austin 316. Ken Anderson can't get away with pro wrestling is fake in fucking Helvetica font or whatever it is. Just, like, hand-typed across he's lucky he's getting rubbed from Hulk Hogan right now.
Yeah.
This is, like, the luckiest he's been in 3 years. The fact that he's on the same TV screen as Hulk Hogan.
Alright. Oh, God, this is going to turn into a TNA show if I don't shut this off.
Didn't
they just establish, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago that Eric Bischoff says you can't be getting physically involved? Every fucking week since then, he's been getting physically involved in something.
Yeah, imagine that.
Goddamn retards. This shit is easy to write.
Yeah, and it's easy to follow through on. When you say don't do this, and then you go and do it, that's fucked up. If you're going to have a stipulation, have a fucking... Okay, this is like the silliest thought ever, but there is a such thing in television as a showrunner. And the basic job of a showrunner is to maintain continuity throughout a series. So if somebody wore a fucking... Now, that's a bad example. It's not like continuity like movies. Like somebody had a watch on their left wrist and then had it on their right wrist. That's
mm-hmm.
a bad example. If somebody dated, like in passing a conversation, if somebody, a chick dated a guy named John, and for some reason it had to come up like 4 episodes later, they'd mention John because the showrunner remembered, hey, you know, you said something
yep.
about John. Things like
yeah.
that. Professional wrestling
that'd be my
really,
job.
would really strongly benefit from having a showrunner. Somebody who remembers, oh, that's right, on May 6th we said Hulk Hogan can't get involved physically, and on May 13th he's getting involved physically. Wait a minute. Fucking
yeah, or
idiots.
You're even going to see like the time frame seem bigger. This was 1 week, and they record the show the next fucking day.
right, yeah, exactly.
It's not like they had a break enough to forget.
Right. Holy cow. And anyway, and I'm giving professional wrestling, like, not even enough credit as a sport and as entertainment. You think Cowboy Bill Watts needed a showrunner? Fuck no. He remembered shit from week to week. Obviously, Vince Russo just doesn't care. Jesus Christ. Unreal.
Maybe one of those cases of too many cooks in the kitchen, too. I mean...
Yeah, it sounds like there are fewer cooks now than there ever have been, but there's still too many. Russo writes the shows. Bischoff and Hogan get their hands all over it and put their fingerprints all over it. And everything still goes through Dixie, who thinks that she has some concept of what should actually happen in a pro wrestling show.
Mm-hmm.
Of those four names, at least two of them need to go.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yep.
And I wouldn't care if it was Russo and Dixie. Honestly, I would not care if it was just Bischoff and Hogan writing the shows.
Mm-mm.
Because then at
no.
least it would only be two people. And one of them has a proven track record as a successful professional wrestling writer. And one of them just knows the business fucking in and out, even if he is the most self-serving person in the history of pro wrestling.
Yeah, well, I think it would help if the guys who are left aren't named Russo, don't have the last name of Russo. That would be a big. There's enough apologizing and hiding the fact that it's still his baby and he's still fucking picking up. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. But
oh, well. And obviously they haven't learned from past mistakes anyway. What's been the main storyline throughout this whole show? Abyss allegedly abusing Chelsea, just like Goldberg allegedly abusing Miss Elizabeth.
Oh my God, that's right. I wondered why that seemed familiar.
Yeah, and the thing is, it doesn't even pay off in the main event like it did 11 years ago on Nitro when Goldberg couldn't be in the main event. This is just some, like, sidebar bullshit angle that makes no difference whatsoever in the scheme of this particular episode.
Yeah. Uh, my I was watching that, and the funny part about that whole thing was they've got all these security guys surrounding Chelsea and what's his name now? Oh, Desmond Wolf.
Yeah.
But none of them, like, they're yelling at Desmond Wolf to calm down instead of, like, trying to keep people back like security would be doing, and then having the head security come over and go, okay, come with me, we'll go talk about this.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting them backstage. I understand it's wrestling, so it's got to be on tape, I mean, but why not have the head security guy come in and, like, the security guys help them get into a room away from the cameras and away from everyone yelling at her, asking her what's wrong.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if it's nitpicky, but, I mean, I don't know. It.
Well, I'll tell you what would happen, though. Creepy little Jeremy Borash would follow them with his handheld camera. And is it him? Is that right? Yeah, he's the one that's running the camera.
I don't think they ever mentioned who it was.
I think Wade might have said it, or Jason Powell might have said it somewhere. And if it's it's Jason Hervey. It's Jason Hervey that spearheaded this whole thing, and I'm pretty sure is literally the man behind the camera. Oh, and real quick, Jeff Hardy is about to give a big swanton off the stage onto Mr. Kennedy, and there he goes, and now he's going to be out of the main event, or he's going to lose. Well, anyway,
why wouldn't you just save that for the pay-per-view?
Yeah, seriously. Well, and make people pay to see that move, like you've said millions of times about millions of moves. Well, what I was going to say, though, was speaking of the documentary-style camera shot, earlier, the first thing I saw tonight using that documentary camera was Ric Flair talking up AJ Styles, and I'm reading the subtitles just because they're on there, not because I needed them. They're handy, but so I was reading over them. He said something about blah, blah, blah because Ric Flair said so or because I said so. They misspelled because. And this is the type of shit that I notice because I'm a copy editor at heart, and I pick out shit like that. But, I mean, that's fucking Bush League. I know, I realize this is why.
I missed that part. You got to explain that for me. They had their own subtitles on, or
yeah,
it was the... Like,
no,
network
TNA,
provided.
No, TNA puts their own subtitles onto these little documentary pieces backstage. And, like, later on, AJ... No, I apologize. Rob Van Dam and Jeff Hardy are talking backstage.
I'm getting back to it.
Okay, the camera's catching them from a distance. So they add their little subtitles in so you can make sure you hear or read what's being said if you can't make it out. Well, they did the same thing for Flair. They added in the little subtitles, TNA did, at the bottom of the screen, and they misspelled the word because at the very end of his speech, his little promo.
Yeah, I rewound to the Jeff Hardy one. I'm trying to find the other one.
Okay, it's before that. I can't remember how far before it, but it's before it. So, anyway, it kind of makes me wish that I had, like, ever... had any sort of contact with Jeremy Borash when he lives in Fort Dodge in my hometown, because then maybe I would have a way in and be like, dude, listen, I'm not trying to make fun of your company. Why don't you just hire me to be the copy editor of TNA? I'll make sure shit like that doesn't go out.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just, I don't know. Well, I'm wishing my video would go a little faster so I could find this before we move on.
Sure.
But
yeah. Well, that's cool. I can continue bitching about what I've seen so far. So let's see. Abyss rehashed in an angle. I like how they put Rob Terry's global championship on the line against Abyss when Rob Terry's defending that cheap ass fake belt against an actual contender at the pay per view. Like, a lower contender, a lesser contender, I might add. And Abyss is in no position to be losing a match. So, it's like, I don't know that they made the rest of the angle obvious or not, but it's obvious that Abyss isn't going to come in there and win that piece of shit tin belt. And then they try to throw in some sort of curveball that, oh, he's the one who allegedly assaulted Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly.
Some fucking hackneyed, fucking Vince Russo-esque TV writing. Just embarrassing.
Yeah. Now, here's my thing. And I know this is going to sound hack, okay? I understand. But why is there a global championship and a world championship?
Right.
There's no fucking difference.
Yeah.
At all.
It's like when WCW had the world title and the international world title.
Yeah.
It's like they had their shitty, like, 1992-3 era world title belt. And then when they got custody of the big gold belt again that had all the prestige to it, well, we need to give it an important sounding name. What's bigger than world? Or what's on par with world? Oh, international. It's kind of like when Bill Watts tried to expand with Mid-South, and he thought, what's bigger than world? The universe. I'll call my company the Universal Wrestling Federation.
Hey, hang on a sec. I just found it. You can keep talking. I just found the part, so I'm trying to see if they... Yes, they did. B-E-A-C-U-S-E.
Biakus. Biakus, I said so.
Ric Flair is disgusting now. Oh, my God.
He looks like he's wearing a dress.
A dress of pimples and acne. What the fuck?
Oh, gross, dude.
Oh, God damn. He's a stress marks and all that stuff.
I think he's at Sponge Bath age at this point.
Oh, they just brought his scratch instant game to South Carolina, though.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Well, maybe he can rip off the North Carolina lottery for even more money. Isn't he?
No, they just come to South Carolina. It was exclusively North. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I get paid tomorrow, so I think I'm going to actually get some money out because you can't get your ATM card for them for some reason.
And I think it's because that's kind of stupid. I can understand not taking a check because you might have insufficient funds and they wouldn't know right away.
Yeah.
But wouldn't they know right away if you didn't have the money in your ATM in your checking account?
I think it has something to do with the fees, the bank charges to use your ATM. That's why.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
So yeah, so they want all their, you know, they want all their money. So.
Gotcha.
But all right, let's get I'm done with TNA. Let's just go to WWE. Not that WWE is actually all that much better, but
right.
Not as annoying at least. So.
Yeah, really. Well, speaking of annoying though, Vicky Guerrero came and went as general manager of Monday Night Raw. There's speculation that they just did it as a last-minute thing because Flavor Flav might have been too effed up to host, which he looked fine when he was on TV, I thought, so that's kind of a bogus cop-out answer. What was your reaction when you saw her on TV, and then what was your reaction when she resigned at the end of the show?
I just thought it was weird. I mean, oh, Jesus Christ, sorry. They just showed the Orlando Jordan spraying mayonnaise on his chest or whatever.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What a sad fucking company. I'm not going to order their pay-per-view. Ugh.
No.
Anyways. No, when she came out, when they were saying that there was going to be a GM, I was like, are they going to use Vicky Guerrero again? And then I was like, when she came out, I was like, well, that's an interesting thing, especially because, you know, the history with Edge, I mean, they have to acknowledge it, right? I mean,
right.
So I was like, all right. Well, there could be some possibilities here, and she still gets the biggest heel heat of anybody.
Oh, people love to boo her.
Mm-hmm. Well, she is instantly unlikable. She may be an absolute sweetheart in real life. She's got her character down. I mean, she sucks, man. I mean, it's hard for someone who even, like, you know, usually, like, gravitates towards the heels.
Right.
There's no chance
to actually like her. Yeah. Well, okay. Generally speaking, I like her as a character. And generally speaking, she's good. I'll fast forward, though, to later on in the show when she and Edge are backstage talking about things.
Mm-hmm.
She did kind of a poor job of reading her lines, almost like she had a little bit of rust to knock off. But overall, she's good. I understand some of the critique that's out there that says, you know, it looks like a rehash. It looks like a repeat. Oh, boy, are we going to be stuck with another, you know, season full of Edge and Vicky Guerrero's love life. But you're glad to see that they paired a couple people together with history.
And acknowledged it. I mean, instead of just bringing her back and going, oh, here's Vicky Guerrero, and Edge walks off. Because everyone would be like, are you fucking kidding? That was just, what, a year ago, 2 years ago that, you know, went through all this crap. So,
yeah.
And I don't understand the whole, you know, we're divorced, but we can still be friends thing, because, man, fuck that. that shit doesn't happen. So, I don't know.
It was nice, because it gave you that extra little tease. It gave you that extra little rub. It gave Edge that extra little rub of heel heat, you know?
Yeah.
In that, oh, he was associated with Vicky Guerrero. Oh, shit. He might continue his association with this evil bitch that we hate, so we have to hate him by default.
Yeah.
So that's good. Very good. And then, so, by the end of the show, though, for everything she does right, she's never really played a chicken shit heel before. She's been in a wheelchair multiple times because of things that happen on pay-per-views, or she'll take a finisher or whatever. But I can't really recall ever seeing her, like, run in fear of something. And so, not to, like, set up your answer or anything, but what did you think then when she, like, fled the scene, Randy Orton was getting ready to give her the RKO, and she just screams, "I resign," and takes off?
Well, I started laughing, kind of, because it was like, all right, Chubbs, whatever. But, no, I'm hoping that it leads to something next week, and not like, oh, can you believe she resigned, but more so of why would she resign instead of just saying you're fired?
Right, yeah.
I mean, I understand they were playing the whole, you know, she was frightened and all this stuff, but it'd be nice if, like, on SmackDown she shows up, because she does show up on SmackDown again this week.
Yep.
And just have her say, just have her acknowledge, look, who knows what Randy Orton's going to do? If I say I fire him, who's to say he's still not going to come back? I'm not going to put myself through that.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, and even say, you know what, I don't care. You know, Edge isn't, Edge can say what he wants, whatever else, but Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm sorry, but I'm watching the local news here, all right?
Uh-huh.
And there's this chick, Carol Goldsmith, and she's not exactly a small woman. She's got a thinner neck, and she's got, like, one of those little butchy boy haircuts. But apparently she's not a lesbo because she's got a kid. Not that that means anything, mind you.
Right.
I don't know what she's doing, but she's got size, like, double or triple Ds all of a sudden.
Whoa, okay.
They're amazing. I mean, from, like, you know, just that section of her is absolutely amazing.
Oh, so she's an anchor?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. All right, good.
Wow.
Good for local news. Apparently she's making enough money to get some fake titties put in.
Yeah, well, she needs to get a new fucking hairdo, though, but whatever. I mean, it's like a pair of double Ds on a retard. Yeah, well, one out of two is bad, so.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. I was disappointed. I thought they could have done something. They could have done something, but I think everyone got burnt out on the heel GM stuff, though.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
It was just kind of like, oh, all right, whatever. So,
yeah, I admit, I kind of. What's the word? Not gasped. I've grunted in exasperation, like, are we fucking seriously going to get a heel GM? Not to say that I didn't enjoy everyone's reaction to her, because I love seeing that. I love seeing somebody get booed so much, and that's not go-away heat. The only
Nice if a wrestler got that?
Yeah, seriously. That's the trick, though. The heat that she gets, it'll never translate into a WrestleMania main event. She'll never main event WrestleMania, so it really stinks that she is the one who gets so much heat. And then at the same time, I was happy at her resignation at the end of the show, because I'm like, okay, cool. For two reasons. One, we might not be subjected to the heel general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are, whatever. But the other thing was, and this kind of switches topics a little bit, I'm really intrigued by some of the short-term booking things that WWE is doing right now. They're not hot-shotting. They're just kind of having some fun on a short-term basis. Vicky Guerrero is the general manager for one night. I'm going to spoiler alert for SmackDown, so mute your computers for 10 seconds. Starting now, Drew McIntyre gets stripped of the Intercontinental title belt wins it the following week. There, spoilers over. Just like, just for something different. It's kind of cool that they're doing different things. You know, throwing Bret Hart out for 1 week. It's really not a hot shot because he's not exactly a proven draw, as you could see by the 885,000 people who ordered WrestleMania, which is, you know, 10% or 20% down from last year. So it's kind of cool that they're doing this stuff. So I don't know. I was intrigued by the whole thing for those reasons. But to be perfectly honest, I'm happy that the experiment ended in 2 hours.
Well, I think it's funny you mentioned Bret Hart because, well, it was his Twitter or there was a radio interview or something. Someone said, yeah, so you're wrestling next week. And he goes, that's news to me.
Right. Well, he said it, I think, it's his MySpace or his Facebook. Because he used to have that outlet where he did the weekly column in the Calgary Sun.
Yeah.
Which is just where I assumed it was. But I think it was actually on his MySpace or his Facebook blog where he said, yeah, my son Blade told me that I have a U.S. title match against The Miz this week. That's news to me. Which is cool. And actually, we can segue into that because that was the next thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
They are giving, and don't set yourself up for what I'm about to say after this. They are giving The Miz every chance in the world to succeed. And he is going to knock it out of the park every time. He has so far, and he's going to continue to. Teaming with The Big Show, feuding with whoever, you know, his little online feud with Chris Jericho, now teaming with Chris Jericho, holding, you know, essentially three championship belts at once. Now he's the U.S. champion. This is like the third time he's gotten some sort of rub off the legendary Bret the Hitman Hart.
Mm-hmm.
What, though, honestly, and there's speculation out there already, how do you think this is going to pan out? Bret Hart versus The Miz next week on Monday Night Raw.
I don't know. Part of me thinks it's not going to happen. Is it in Canada next week?
It's in Toronto, yep.
Okay.
Old bizarro world.
Well, isn't this coming up on Bret's last, around some of the last dates he has with him?
Yes. In fact, it really should be, according to something that he posted or said or told somebody, a reporter, it's probably his last date, unless he, you know, agrees to some sort of extension.
Yeah. Well, I could honestly, as dumb as this sounds, I could honestly see him winning.
Yeah.
Obviously not in a good match, but having the Hart Dynasty interfere and then Jericho interfering somehow, I think you'd have to keep Jericho away, though, because the crowd's going to cheer him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't want that. If you write this segment out and you want it to go exactly as you planned for it to, you can't bring in somebody as likable as Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
People love to hate him, especially in Toronto.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing just in general, because Edge is going to be there. He'll get cheered. All the Canadian guys get cheered regardless. So,
yep.
But I'm just thinking in this case, it could, I mean, it's a possibility Bret wins because of interference and goes, look, I'm not a wrestler anymore, which makes Miz look kind of bad, actually. But that's why you have the Hart Dynasty interfere, so that you build juice for the pay-per-view, you know, the following week, or is it that weekend?
That weekend, I think.
Yeah.
And you know,
so
what,
you go
with
it from there.
It'd be good if it were the Hart Dynasty for their sake, because they'd still be working with Uncle Bret, you know, whatever. Of course, the other speculation is that Bryan Danielson will be involved somehow, which is fine.
Oh.
You know, he's got to make his debut sooner or later.
I didn't think of that. He comes out and costs The Miz the match, or...
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Causes him the match and the title, which, you know, Bret, like you said, gives up immediately. Well, I guess it's not exactly what you said, but it's a thought anyway. Just says,
okay,
you know,
well,
I can't be doing this. And then, hell, I don't know. And I realize we just had a tournament for the Intercontinental title on SmackDown, but it could be one of those things where either, you know, guest host Buzz Aldrin hands the belt right back over to The Miz, or... whoever they announce as GM for next week, you know, says, oh, we better have a tournament for this thing.
Yeah.
And hell, and
well,
maybe,
it
comes down to
the King of the Ring tournament.
Say that again?
Is there still a King of the Ring tournament or pay-per-view?
No, there hasn't.
Did they bring it back or no?
No, the thing's out.
Okay. I don't know. Well, I know they just had a tournament, but at least the Intercontinental tournament was, you know, three matches. That was it. So you could do it that way if you wanted. And at least this one was a necessity because a guy that's 50,000, you know, 57, 8, whatever, I can't remember, 54 years old,
yeah,
stroke victim, retiree, you know, somehow got the belt they obviously shouldn't be having. And so it's not that bad if you do it, you know, and hell, even do it in one night. I mean, if it's a commercial-free Raw, have it on that. And
sure, yeah, do the Brett angle first thing.
Yeah.
And then have a tournament for the rest of the night.
Oh, wait a minute, is Buzz Aldrin next week?
What's that?
Wait, when is Buzz Aldrin the host? That's not next week, is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that exciting?
Wait, is this coming Monday? Oh, God. Kevin and I are going to have a field day with that one. That plastic-looking weirdo.
Yeah, that guy. I understand why he's an icon, but not a pop culture icon. That's for goddamn sure.
No, he was on 30 Rock, and it was just embarrassing.
Yeah, I heard that it was awful to watch.
Would you like to yell at the moon with me, Liz Lemon? I sure would. Ugh.
So
go away. Yeah.
I did have another thought, though. It's too bad that there wasn't, like, a little bit of forethought put into this, where Miz last week on Raw could have said, I'm not going to face you, David Hart Smith, or you, Tyson Kidd, or not even you, Natalya. I'm going to face the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be, and leave it at that. And then Brett comes out in his jean shorts and his fucking $5 sunglasses from the gas station, and his fucking backwards Calgary Hitmen baseball cap, and his fucking shitty-looking leather jacket, and says, you know what? You said you were going to wrestle the best and rah, rah, rah. Well, I'm not an active wrestler anymore, but you want to know who the best in the world is these days, and brings out Bryan Danielson. Which should actually be even funnier if you think about it, because if you look at the contract, on one side it says The Miz, and on the other side it says the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be.
Well, that's legally binding, so.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Since we brought him up, let's transition over to NXT. I mean, I know we can talk about Randy Orton, but we can talk about that next week or something.
Yeah, and it gets talked about every week. Yeah, so NXT happened, and they promised an elimination, and they gave us three eliminations.
Yeah.
We can take him in order. Michael Tarver, I don't think you and I talked about NXT on this show yet? I've talked about it with Kevin, but I don't think I've talked about it with you. What's your opinion of Michael Tarver? I know he gets ragged on a lot. I want to know what your opinion is of Michael Tarver.
Well, I thought it was I didn't like it at first. And then what was it, the last two, maybe 3 weeks?
Uh-huh.
He's shown the most fire of anybody on that show.
Yes.
He's light years ahead of what the hell's like David Otunga.
Oh Christ, yes.
And
absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know how much stock to put into the pros and whatever else, but he got saddled with Carlito.
Right.
So what? I mean, what do you expect? The crowd's gonna go, oh, Carlito.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of wish everyone in the crowd had a soundboard like you wanted earlier to make that sound when Carlito comes out.
Yeah, but I mean, and honestly, the same goes for Skip Sheffield. I mean, regardless, we'll get to him in a second, but, well, I mean, I love William Regal, but he gets the same fart noise that Carlito does.
Sure, because I mean, honestly, what has he done in the last 5 years?
Right.
Or longer.
Yeah, and that's not, I mean, that's not on him, but it's just the truth.
Yeah,
so.
It is. And
but no, Michael Tarver was just like the generic angry black guy.
Right, yeah.
And then he suddenly just grasped it and really got angry and showed fire.
Yep.
But it was too late. I mean,
Well, and the thing is, too, okay, I've said this to both Kevin and Dusty, and I'll say it to you now. Michael Tarver is better in the ring than anybody has given him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to point to like 4 or 5 years of experience. He's been wrestling for a while before he wrestled in FCW. That doesn't matter. There are people who have wrestled for 20 years that can't wrestle worth a shit. But David Otunga is green as a fucking crayon.
Yeah.
He's the reason Kermit the Frog sang the song about being green. He is hesitant when he's in the ring, and it shows, and it's obvious. He is not fluid in his motions. He's not confident in himself. You can just tell all of these things. Michael Tarver is. Whatever character he thinks he has, which is basically just a brawler that wears MMA gloves, he's got that character down. He knows how to work being the big, angry black guy.
Yeah.
His promos are more polished than David Otunga's ever will be. Otunga, when he was the guest host of Raw, I realized that he was probably very heavily scripted. And they told him, if you deviate from the script, we're going to reprimand you severely.
Yeah.
But he looked really uneasy and nervous out there. And he looks uneasy and nervous in the ring. Michael Tarver doesn't, as far as I'm concerned. His promo, after his elimination, and then backstage, I thought they were great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy, at most at this point, would be a mid-carder. And I'm never going to say he'll be a main eventer, but this guy could be a player. And I don't know. I'm sure we'll see him. Somebody, they've got to realize that. They can't have their heads so far up their asses after the last few weeks that they don't realize that he could do something.
Mm-hmm. I just got a quick question, though.
Sure.
Did you just not remember the name of the song, or did you purposely say it that way?
I forgot what we're talking about. The song.
When you said that song about being green.
Yeah, no, I.
You know, the song's called "It's Not Easy."
It's not easy being green. No,
I only needed a couple more words.
Right? Yeah.
I'm just sitting going, was that on purpose? But
yes, it was. I was trying to do it for comedic value, and you completely ruined it for me. Thank you.
Okay, good. All right, good. I'm glad I could point that out.
I appreciate it. and there's also speculation, you know, and it started immediately, and it's, you know, I heard it on the Wade Keller hotline or whatever, the blog talk radio thing that he does, everywhere, suggesting that maybe Michael Tarver will be the next Virgil. Because as he said in his promo, he's like, I don't know where my next paycheck is going to come from. But maybe it'll come from Ted DiBiase.
Oh, I you know what? I missed that line. All right, I have read Jason Paul's site, and since we can move on to Skip Sheffield, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like we're both hosting the show.
Right, yeah.
So you're saying something, and then when I get bored with something, I'm like, okay, it's time to move on. Whatever. But Powell mentioned the same thing. Like, you know, Skip Sheffield could possibly be the new Virgil.
That would be weird.
I don't know. I like Jason. I like reading his stuff. I like reading his stuff, but I don't care if I ever see Skip Sheffield again. So.
Now, okay, and honestly, I don't mind him. He's got a goofy sort of charisma. Let's take the two people who have the goofiest charisma on that show, he and Heath Slater, and stand them next to each other. I would shove Heath Slater off a fucking cliff. I would put him in a car with Toonsis the Cat from Saturday Night Live 10,000 times, and if I had to choose between one of the two, I would hire Skip Sheffield 100 times out of 100 over Heath Slater when comparing two goofy people on NXT.
Yeah.
Heath Slater just looks too plain. He doesn't really do anything wrestling-wise that excites me. I'm not saying Skip Sheffield really does either. I've said before, he looks like a really polished indie guy. Like,
yeah.
If he could maintain a name, it's too bad for him that he was eliminated this early, because he'll always have that stigma with him. But he could have gone out to the indies and made a decent buck based on his decently polished skills and his silly demeanor and his ability to talk in front of a live crowd. So it's possible we'll see him again. I would have cut, you know, at least one or two other people before I cut him, but, you know, it is what it is. Quite frankly, Darren Young.
You were talking about Skip Sheffield, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I just don't see it, because all I see is some guy who's just waiting to fail a wellness policy test.
Yeah, he
and
is.
And then he's got. Was it you or Kevin? I haven't talked to Dusty all week. Have you talked to him?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, well, damn it. All right, I'll hit him up tomorrow then.
He said his back is torn up because they decided to put a mattress pad on their bed. He said, it looked really comfortable and we never used it, and I put it on there and it's too soft and now my back is fucking torn up.
Yeah, my back's been bugging me too. God.
Well, now you have a
what happened to us? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. This is supposed to be the asshole edition, and we're like, oh, my back, oh,
yeah.
I'm sleeping on a comfortable mattress pad. Jesus.
No, all right, so anyway, but, all right, so I think it was either you or Kevin. The guy's got three different gimmicks going at the same time.
No, that was me. I said he dressed like a road warrior.
Yeah.
He's got this hillbilly southern shaved head accent like Steve Austin. What was the other thing I said?
I don't remember. He's got like he honestly has an Aryan Nation look to him.
Yeah.
He's like the muscle underneath the sheet. I mean,
yeah.
Well, that's two different things actually, but you know, it's the same concept, but it,
right.
No, I don't know. I honestly didn't see a damn thing in him. You know, his little going away speech was fine when he said, "You know what? I've got it's not fair. It's all my fault or something. It was not William Regal's fault and all this stuff." And it's like, all right, what are you kissing ass on the way out for? I mean, I don't know. I thought that was weird. I mean, he reminds me of Batista in the fact that he's bald, has the goofy ears with a shaved head, and then
right,
you put a big metal chain on him and some goofy contacts. You can call him Leviathan.
Yeah, seriously. Well,
but,
he goes back to...
Unfortunately for Skip, though, he ain't overcoming it. So, no.
God, I wish I could remember what that third gimmick was, though. I talked about the way he dressed, the way he looked. It didn't have anything to do with his catchphrase, though, did it?
Was what?
His catchphrase, the yip, yip, yip thing? No. Well, anyway, if I think about it, I'll post it somewhere.
You're doing a great job of building a case for him. His catchphrase, the yip, yip, yip.
Yeah, I understand. You know what? Essentially, you're right. Like, he would never get past Jesse or Ray Gordy status. That's about as far as he probably would ever make it in WWE. If he ever made it any further, it would be like Trevor Murdoch level, where he might find somebody to team up with. They might win some matches. They might lose some matches, and then he gets fired for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, maybe back in the days of Hulk Hogan, they could have put a red and white striped shirt on him and a little goofy sailor hat.
That's so fucking great. Yeah, there need to be more tugboats in the world.
Actually, you know how damn funny that would be? If on Tuesday he interrupts like a David Otunga, I don't know who the hell's up, Heath Slater match, and he just comes in the ring, beats him down, and goes, oh, woo, woo, and he just tugboats his way back out of the ring.
That would be great. And somewhere Eric Stevens in ROH is crying. He stole my toot toot.
I was just waiting for like the Michael Cole line. That's vintage tugboat. And then
tugboat, Jesus
Matthews
Christ.
Just looked at him and was like, that's not the same guy.
Yeah. Dude, I love Josh Matthews calling out Michael Cole for his stupidity. A couple weeks ago when he said Michael Tarver has been, you know, he's shown so much heart in this competition. And then they go to commercial and they come back and Matthews is like, you know, Cole, you said something really stupid before I went to commercial. Michael Tarver hasn't shown any heart. He's been quitting all the competition. And Cole tries to cover for himself like a douchebag.
Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty stupid. You must be rubbing off on me. Please let me keep my job. What a queef.
God, no. I honestly think we've seen the last of Sheffield, unless TNA picks him up.
Yeah, which is possible. So
I can't see ROH picking him up.
Fuck no, absolutely not. No, Skip Sheffield, he's probably going to go back to FCW and toil for a while, and that's probably about all he'll ever do.
I'm glad you said that. We're sitting here treating it like these guys actually got released.
Right,
like a bunch of fags.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, he's really gone. He's going to go somewhere else now. No, he's not.
Right, no.
He's
going
to go right back to Florida.
Yeah, he's got a cushy $500 a week developmental deal that he's working with. Jesus Christ, no wonder he shaves his head. You can't even afford fucking shampoo on a salary like that.
He's using all these dick disposables.
Yep.
That's what he gets paid in.
Yep. Oh, my God.
I can't
even
believe it. Seriously occurred to me as we're talking about this. They were like, well, he could, when I said, well, he could end up teeing. I'm like, you fucking idiot. He's not going anywhere.
No.
Jesus.
No. So Michael Tarver potentially could show up on WWE TV again, I think. I think he's got a place. Danielson absolutely will. There's no question about that. They're going to call him up. They have something ready-made for him. They must trust him. You know, I've said it before. Anything that he's done on television has been plotted out and planned for him or with his, you know, been his plan with somebody's blessing. If he would have cut the promo he cut on Tuesday night without permission, he would have been fired. We would have read about his future endeavors already. Yeah. So, and by the way, I might just add that, was it last year or the year before when the news that Joey Styles punched out JBL came out, one punched him, and I'm like, this is the greatest news I've ever heard. This makes me so happy to be, you know, a wrestling fan to hear stuff like this. Yeah. As cheesy as it sounds, I had the same feeling when Bryan Danielson cut his promo on NXT. Like, I am very happy for this man right now that he gets to say this stuff on national television, even if only about 800,000 people are watching or 1.05 million or whatever. I'm like, this is pretty badass. We've known about this guy, and he gets to say this on live TV. This is national TV. This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, plus, they're not going to give him the win on Monday. And then, you know,
right.
I mean, unless that was the design was, all right, look, we know you're going to get voted off. This has been the plan all along. And then just just to keep everybody on their toes, you know. So I was pretty happy when he started talking. He's like, you know, I can take Dave Bautista to the limit, which, all right, whatever. But then I lose the rookies.
Right.
And I'm like, So I agree with you that just about everything's been plotted out. I do wonder if they weren't expecting him to be number one in fan voting, though.
Right, yeah.
If that kind of threw like a little bit of a wrench in the works. And that way, that's why they had him cut that promo last week, saying, you know, I deserve to be voted off and this and this.
Oh, sure. You got to have a little bit of crowd control. And, I mean, not that Wade Barrett hasn't deserved it, but, man, they have pushed him to the moon since Daniel Bryan had the number one ranking in the fan vote. They're just making sure that there was somebody else out there that could be accepted as a future superstar so they could go this route. So they had him win a match on Raw, but granted it was pinning Santino, but whatever. So they had him win a match. They had him wrestle Jericho on the first week of NXT. They scripted out this feud with The Miz that caters to not only a mainstream crowd that would want to see this plucky upstart kick this mouthy asshole rear end, but that caters to the internet crowd too. That you know, portrays this 10-year independent scene veteran against this brash, you know, 5-year WWE veteran who used to read lines off the back of his hand. This is so well done. And, you know, I don't even care that they probably scripted this promo for Danielson Tuesday night. I was just happy to hear it. I thought it was funny that Matt Stryker, like, smiled the whole time and was like, you're right.
See, and sorry, I'm glad you brought both of those points up about it being scripted and then Stryker smiling. To me, there was two things going on there. One was Stryker was there as the safety net. Basically, they were like, all right, this was the crux. This is what we've been building for, which is weird because they already have like the built-in thing with The Miz, but they, you know, if they choose to go this way, that's fine. So when he, if he would have started stumbling, Stryker could have, you know, jumped in and been like, well, you know, blah, 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 to get him back on track.
Sure.
So, but also I think it was more of, all right, I'm here as a safety net. And then as, you know, Danielson starts nailing it,
yeah,
showing fire, showing exactly what you need to do. Also, it was almost as if, I don't want to say he couldn't contain himself, but he,
yeah,
was, I mean, almost like the proud papa sort of thing, like, yep, the kid's got it, you know, even if, you know, it's bullshit, but.
Even, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
even if Stryker is honestly just as much of a kid as Danielson is in the big scheme of things.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. So that's how I took it. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I could be totally wrong. But
no, I agree. I think Stryker was happy for Danielson. I think he was marking out a little bit, honestly. But I kind of go back about, I'm sorry if my phone just beeped. I'm going to kind of go back on what I said about the promo being scripted, because that was a pretty vintage, yeah, Bryan Danielson promo. They probably just said, you know what, it's okay if you say this, it's okay if you say that, and I'll go out and cut a promo. Because
mm-hmm.
they've kind of let these guys have their own reigns pretty much the entire season so far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that's great, because that's another example of somebody, you know, taking the ball, being handed the ball and then running with it. And
yeah.
Danielson's a really good guy for that. He's gotten that, I just don't understand, he's gotten that stigma attached to him of a bland personality when he has anything but. He's really entertaining. He's funny also. I've seen it dozens of times, and I know that some people haven't, but he's a funny guy and a good promo, and he's serious about his craft, and it showed on Tuesday night.
Yeah, well, that was one thing I think Kevin and I talked about when it came to him, that WWE had to have seen something. I mean, whoever, I mean, we always use the general term WWE, because, you know, who the hell knows, well, I mean, maybe some people do, but who is, like, the pet project, like, all right, this is my guy, so
yeah,
we'll do this. They clearly had to see something, because he's been the centerpiece ever since that started.
Yeah, between Cole's announcing and his completely defeated streak and his,
mm-hmm.
you know, big match against Jericho at first, yeah, he's absolutely been
yeah.
the focal point of the show.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I just totally lost my train of thought. So not
sorry.
But no, it's I don't know, it's, I don't want to say exciting, because I always build it up way more than it needs to be, but
uh-huh.
it's at least something interesting, and they need, I don't know, they need something. They need someone like Danielson. Just something different, and God damn, that sounds like such a little Markish annoying thing to say, but they need something different. They need different bodies. I mean, you know, you're talking about The Miz. Well, maybe that is what the whole thing's for.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's at least interesting. I was, when they did another elimination, when they went over to him and said, you know, you said you don't deserve to be here and whatever else.
Right.
I was like, what are they doing? And then when they eliminated
okay.
him, I was like, oh, are you fucking kidding? That's weird.
Yeah, I know. It was good. It was a good tease and a good foreshadow with Tarver, which
mm-hmm.
obviously was planned the week before, because they had Danielson say the same thing that Tarver did.
Right.
So, I don't know. It made for a newsworthy NXT, and it showed in the ratings. The ratings ticked up just a little bit. I don't know that they're going to stay. You know, I don't know that future eliminations are going to be as important as this elimination was. The first one is always the most intriguing. And now that
yeah.
they blew their load and tossed three people off at once, like, which leads me to this last question I have about NXT, and I'm going to pull a Wade Keller on you and see if I can get this out of you in 30 seconds. We've got Wade Barrett, Heath Slater, Darren Young, David Otunga, Justin Gabriel. Who do you think should be the next one to go, and why?
Oh, next one to go?
Yeah.
Personally, I want to see Otunga go, because I'm just bored with him.
Yeah.
I don't see... He started off okay, but now it's just whatever. Who's probably going to go is Darren Young, which is unfortunate. To me, he's getting that little cult grassroots thing about him because of what a disaster that guy is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was literally a shade of brown this week.
Yeah, he was a crayon. He was as brown as a crayon.
That was the weird, I mean, I've never seen that. I, even fake tan people don't look like that.
No, they turn orange usually.
Yeah. But it was like he was a wood stain color, like something that someone's deck would be. That was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, you know what? You gotta keep this guy around. I mean,
yeah, just for the goofiness factor.
Well, I don't like that they've gotten away from the pros. I think the pros were helping these guys. And maybe that's why they did, because going back to the Danielson thing, Danielson wasn't supposed to be that popular, but because of who they paired him with, you know.
Well, let me throw this out there. I think Darren Young is the least of the bunch. I think he's not an athlete. And I said this to you, I think, over IM.
Yeah.
It was obvious as they ran the last obstacle course.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't do the monkey bars. He couldn't climb a rope ladder. He is not an athlete. He's a bodybuilder with a look. And he can't wrestle. And he can probably barely talk. They're giving him an angle with his mentor, CM Punk. I think they should get rid of him because he is not going to ever pan out as a good WWE superstar. If they cut him next week and they wanted to continue this goofy little angle they gave him, maybe he runs out at Over the Limit and costs Ray the match and, you know, and proclaims himself a member of the Straight Edge Society and Mysterio has to join too. Whatever. They could cut him next week and get past that by get past the fact that they gave him an angle to work with by doing something like that. Legitimately, Heath Slater is a gigantic piece of shit who makes Cody Deaner in TNA look like goddamn Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that was such a dusty thing to say. Oh, yes, that was so dusty. Yes.
I don't see
the Heath Slater thing. I don't get it. He's a nerd. He's a giant nerd.
He's a huge nerd with little skill and fucking a boring look. He's a turd. He's a fucking ginger. He just fucking sucks. That guy will never, ever amount to anything in this wrestling world.
But saying that, but why have they been giving him all of this? I mean, he pinned Jericho. I mean, he's been one of the more featured guys now. I mean, unless it was one of those happy accidents. So
I think they're just feeling generous, honestly. If I had to guess, though, I would say Darren Young goes next.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I mean, I know this is it's all fixed, but this is Wade Barrett's to lose.
Right, yeah, and he won't. I mean, he'll go on. The fact that he's gotten a stamp of approval from Chris Jericho means that he is going to win this thing pretty much outright.
Yeah, and Justin Gabriel is saddled with that giant jar of mayonnaise that's his pro.
Oh, yeah, so, Matt Hardy's.
Yeah, but I like Justin Gabriel, though. And from a corporate standpoint, he's perfect. He's young, he's good-looking, he doesn't have, like, a bunch of obnoxious tattoos.
Yep.
He looks like he's got a clean, athletic build to him.
Yep.
So, I mean, he's a nightmare, or he's a corporate dream. So,
yeah, absolutely. And he's flashy enough where you could put him in montages and have video packages of him, and you could put him in the intro of Superstars doing a 450. Yeah, he's great. He'll have a job. I'm not too worried about him. Wade Barrett's going to stick around. Otunga, he won't be able to capitalize on his name power in a short enough time to rationalize and warrant full-time employment by WWE. They need to cut their losses on that and just move on. Slater sucks and needs to go. Darren Young is a fucking turd, and he's the color of a turd.
Yeah, but with Otunga, as long as he's dating or, you know, dumping loads in Jennifer Hudson, they're not going to get rid of him.
Yeah,
there's no way. So,
I suppose. That's about it for NXT. We should probably wind this up. Beth Phoenix is hurt and she's out for 6 months.
Yes. That was right before we started. Checked up, and I think it was a blown or torn ACL, So she's out for 6 months. So she loses the belt on SmackDown. Sorry.
Those belts, those women's belts are curses now. I dub it officially.
Yeah. But the thing is, WWE fucked themselves in this because they got rid of both Maria and Mickie James. So the only face on SmackDown for the women is Kelly Kelly.
Yeah.
I believe.
And she's hotter than fucking steamed clams. I don't even know what that means. She's hotter than my bathtub water. And she can wrestle all right, but she isn't about to carry the team.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Gail Kim's on SmackDown, isn't she?
No, she's on Raw. She and Alicia Fox are sitting ringside for Zack Ryder's matches.
Yes. That's what I was thinking of, and I was like, got my days confused. But yeah, I don't expect them to be calling Mickie James back anytime soon, or Maria for that matter. But yeah, but SmackDown's title belt now is absolutely worthless.
Yep, it sure is.
So, it's a shame. The nice thing is, what you do is you go out and say, hey, Awesome Kong, here you go. Here's some money. I'm going to feature you for the next year, 8 months, whatever, as absolutely no one can beat you. We'll bring in Shimmer Girls every week for you to destroy. And then, hey, Beth, when you're healthy, here's your WrestleMania opponent.
There you go. That's perfect. And in the meantime, and quickly, you get the belt. You have a little, Diva Battle Royal or bullshit like they always do. You put the belt on Kelly because she's the petite, cute little blonde. And then you have Awesome Kong come in and crush her to get the belt.
Yeah, and keep Kelly off TV for a while if you have to. But, I mean, and have...
she's hot, though.
I mean, but have Kong destroy Layla, Michelle McCool, just all that stuff.
Sure.
But whatever. That's more us just jerking off over something that's just not going to happen. So
right.
It'd be nice. It would be really cool if it did, though, because she's got the backing of Steve Austin and Jim Ross. So
yeah, and us.
Well, yeah, of course.
I've been saying Awesome Kong is the next big Van Vader for a while now. And it could happen.
Yes.
Real quick, this is a silly thing to bring up, but only because I mentioned Zack Ryder a second ago while I mentioned this. I watched Superstars tonight. There was a Curt Hawkins sighting. He teamed with Vance Archer to beat a couple of jobbers. Even though Vance Archer's haircut is looking a little stupid right now, his look is getting better. He's looking a little meaner. Curt Hawkins got a chance to talk. Not the most polished, but he could probably suffice. Even Jim Ross in his blog the other day said he wants to see more out of Curt Hawkins. Anyway, I just thought it was funny that those two were on Superstars. So who knows? We might have another Dude Busters on our hands.
Well, I might actually record Superstars for a change then. They replay like 5 times, so.
Yeah. Well, it's WGN.
It became a show that was not necessary, so I just stopped watching it.
Right. No. WGN is like The Cosby Show, followed by America's Funniest Videos, and then Superstars.
Funniest Home Videos. Yeah. And then Don't Miss Our Back-to-Back Scrubs. Ugh. Okay.
Yep.
I like Scrubs and all, but good God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they have an HD version of that, too. It's like, oh, whatever.
Oh,
so,
weird.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here. We've been going out for an hour and something already. So.
Yep, I think so. You want to sign off first or me?
I will. I'm going to go play some Battlefield 2 and put this together tomorrow. So. The big plug actually is Kevin actually really is legitimately coming in town, as long as he doesn't get arrested for date rape. And he'll be in Sunday. We're going to be actually, depending on when he gets here, because I wish I would have remembered to tell the story, but the last time he was down here, it took him 18 hours to get back to Columbus, Ohio.
That's right. I remember you told me that.
That is not a mistake. 18 hours. Maybe we'll talk about that Sunday.
Okay,
huh?
There you go. Leave the story for Sunday.
Yeah. But no, we are going to try and do, depending on how much we drink, a show after Sacrifice, a show after Raw, a show after NXT. You know, and basically just have, you know, just some more shows because of the two of us. So make sure and stop by and listen to them. Because if we're going to record them, someone should fucking listen to it. So that's a big plug. So We'll talk to everyone Sunday night, possibly just Monday morning, or whenever I wake up. So take care. Later.
Excellent. And for Jeremy Mays, for the aforementioned Kevin DeFrango and Dusty Giebink, for the missing Jordan Smith, and for Battlefield and Love is a Battlefield, and Pat Benatar, who's going to play at the Iowa State Fair this year along with REO Speedwagon, this is Eric Nelson. This has been another Stunt Granny Audio. Peace and chicken grease.